Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
About 20 years ago, a doctor named Rita Charon was credited with coining the phrase narrative medicine, the idea of helping patients with devastating illness tell their stories in a way that's healing. It became really popular during pandemic. Well, in Boston, Dr. Annie Brewster of Mass General Hospital came to this thinking a few years ago after her own devastating diagnosis of MS, multiple sclerosis, which attacks the nervous system. At first, she kept it a secret. Then she came to see that there is a way to tell one's story, not just writing it, but editing and revising it with coaching from experts so that it improves psychological well-being. Dr. Brewster put her own story and stories of patients on member station WBUR, working with health reporter Rachel Zimmerman, who had to craft her own story after her husband took his life. Dr. Brewster then formed the nonprofit Health Story Collaborative. Think of it as StoryCorps or The Moth combined with a writing class, not to sugarcoat illness or loss, but to teach a storyteller how to take agency in their own narrative. Dr. Brewster and Rachel Zimmerman now have a book to help others. It's called The Healing Power of Storytelling. And Dr. Annie Brewster joins us now. So your work is underpinned by Dr. Jonathan Adler, whose field is narrative psychology. We hear these phrases. What exactly is, narrative medicine?
So the short sort of highlight versions, I'll say, is stories are really fundamental to who we are, to our identity. Yeah. They're shaped by the stories we tell out of what happens to us, the meaning we make out of what happens to us. And for me, the power there is we can't control what happens to us necessarily, but we can always control the meaning that we make out of what happens to us. And then there are certain themes we know that show up in stories that come out in the research as being more clearly linked to positive mental health. So we work with those themes.
You looked at all of these studies, really digging in and writing about an illness. It seemed to actually trigger cells to fight off infection, as opposed to people in the same study who just wrote about unemotional topics. So stories matter, and as you write, we can decide how to tell them. Let's tell a little of yours. Your dad, you write, was a distant man, a surgeon who actually then was gone. He left your family. You felt unloved, grew up too fast. One drunken night in eighth grade, you're sexually assaulted, but you never talk about that. As you write, you were well placed in a position of denial when you actually got your own devastating health diagnosis of MS. You just kind of resisted the diagnosis.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of rocked my self-story and my sense of identity. I'd always sort of been a person who could persevere my way through anything, and I wasn't really ready to accept a diagnosis, that has no cure, basically. Right. And I think as doctors, we sort of miss that point. We think our job is done when we deliver the diagnosis. We've solved the problem. But for the patient, that's when the story's really beginning. And it took me a really long time. I felt a lot of shame. I felt sort of blemished. I didn't want people to react to me as less than
someone with an illness.
Yeah. But really learned over time that that wasn't going to be sustainable for my own health.
I just want to, how are you?
I have been very fortunate. So it was like a tingling right. And sort of a disembodied sensation in my legs. That still comes and goes periodically, but it doesn't hinder my ability to do things. For me, the hardest part has been sort of the fear of what might be, because right. It is unknowable. So I sort of gradually started telling my story. And it was actually really freeing. It felt like I sort of stepped into myself and was like, here I am, take it or leave it. And it really helped dissipate that shame.
Well, and that's where we move to, how do we do this different way? Because it isn't just, spilling out your story. It's a certain way of crafting it. So let's talk about that. First of all, full disclosure, I was honored to be asked to write the afterword to your book. I obviously believe in the power of storytelling, but I also know things can go wrong. You can ask someone to tell their story. It's traumatizing for them. They tell it too soon, and then they're ashamed of the way they put it out there. And they don't have agency in it. That's an important word.
Absolutely.
You can believe you know your story, and you actually have it wrong. I mean, I spent my life thinking I gave a beloved doctor polio because he held me when I had polio. And I found out later in life, mm-hmm. Polio was spread in water. I couldn't have given it to him, so you go decades
yes.
Thinking, yeah, you know your story. But also people can get stuck in their stories in just repeating that you are someone with an illness, you just get locked into, I'm someone with an illness. That seems to be what your goal is, to change that. How do you literally tell people to rewrite their story?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a very structured, one of our main projects is called Healing Story Sessions, and we have a very structured narrative guide, and we work with people to follow that. It's grounded in the research, to follow the prompts. You don't need to be a writer. When something big happens to us, like a diagnosis or a trauma or a loss, it is a turning point moment. And sort of how we shape this concept of narrative identity is sort of grounded in these scaffolding of these big moments in our lives. Right. And so to recognize that we have the agency to rewrite them. And for me, you know, what you said about getting stuck is so important, like to remember that we aren't stuck, that our stories are always in motion. They're never stagnant, and that we have the power to move them. But first and foremost, it has to be therapeutic and feel empowering to the person who's telling that story.
Can you give us one idea of one prompt that someone might use? You know, I have a fatal diagnosis. I mean, you know, this is all I am. This is who I am. You know, those are understandable feelings. What is a prompt that can start them flipping it to seeing any ownership in that?
Yeah. A question we might ask, how have you changed from this experience? What have you learned? How are you different? Or how might you help others? What would you say to somebody to help them move through a similar challenging situation? I have found that people often don't come to the process of wanting to share their story because they feel that it's going to be helpful to them. Often they're motivated by, maybe this will be helpful to somebody else. And there's absolute truth in that. There's lots of research showing that there's healing power for the listeners, for the receivers of the story.
Sure.
And that tends to be motivating for patients. That is agency, just that.
I want to mention Michael Bischoff, the late now Michael Bischoff. But he had a brain tumor. He became somebody who you call your health story principal.
Healing story principal.
Healing story principal.
Yeah, he joined our team. He so believed in the work that he joined our team, and he was living in Minnesota, and he started hosting events there and gathering people. And, you know, the community element of the storytelling was really moving for him.
Well, let's hear some of Michael's healing word session. He tells the story of how his friends gave him a party when he was diagnosed, and how he felt after they gathered around him.
It was kind of a combination of a talent show and a prayer service and kind of like a memorial service for me that I could go to. I told them about how freaked out I was when Dr. Tschusheim said 15 to 18 months. And as they were listening to me, as you are now, it felt like they were reaching into my belly and shifting it.
And then Michael told about how, editing his own narrative, he discovered he was stuck on some stories.
When I was in fifth grade, my family moved from Kentucky to Missouri. Shortly after that, I was in the school cafeteria. All the other boys in fifth grade were sitting at the next table. And when I was sitting at the table by myself, I was telling myself two stories. One, I'm not cool enough, I'm not good enough to be at that table. And at the same time, well, actually, I'm a little bit better than them because I'm analyzing the situation, and I can see the social dynamics. I can see my own perceptions. That makes me better than them. And those two stories, that I'm not good enough and that I'm better than, have stayed with me for the 40 plus years since that time. But when Dr. Tschusheim told me about the brain cancer, I knew that I needed to live and learn different stories.
And finally, Michael talks about how he began taking in new stories, one from his Aunt Marcia about his great-grandmother.
My great-grandmother had a daughter named Mary Esther. And when Mary Esther was a toddler, she was very sick. And the doctor said, I can't do anything for her. My great-grandmother was at home making dinner, and Mary Esther came over and tugged on her apron and said, Mama, can you rock me? My great-grandmother picked up Mary Esther. She rocked her. She sang to her. And Mary Esther died in her arms. So Marcia's telling me this story. And she adds to that that when my great-grandmother was dying, Marcia was there and asked her, Could she hold her the way she did for her daughter when she died? And Marcia said that was one of the most euphoric things in her life. And my great-grandmother, Mary Esther, and Marcia started teaching me that healing and dying sometimes go together. They're not enemies.
Michael Bischoff, who died in 2020, 5 years after his diagnosis. And Dr. Annie Brewster, you say not all stories are redemptive, but he absolutely believed that his life was extended, not just by chemo, but by, you know, crafting his story by asking questions.
Mm-hmm. What has changed for me since I've been given this diagnosis? What is better? How have my relationships deepened? Absolutely.
Dr. Annie Brewster, her book with reporter Rachel Zimmerman is The Healing Power of Storytelling. We'll link you up at herenow.org to the Health Story Collaborative. Dr. Brewster, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Robin. It's a pleasure.